is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Welcome to Rogue Talk. This is the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for Friday, October 14th, 2016. And we've got another good show for you today. And with the upcoming election, we've been talking about the election on and off the last few weeks, and we're going to continue that this week. Today's main topic of discussion will be Oregon Measure 97, and that's the so-called sales tax measure, and we'll dive into that in a little bit. And then next week, we plan to talk about the Rogue River School Bond measure. I hope to have a couple of guests for next week's show. We're still trying to get that lined up, but having trouble finding someone that wants to come on and be against the measure. Not that there aren't people that are against it, but still looking for someone to come on. So if you're against the school bond measure, you can contact me on the Facebook page, Rogue Talk Facebook page, or you can contact me through the website. I'm at the email. You can get there through the website or go directly through your mail server, and you would send that to feedback@943thebridge.com. So if you've got any thoughts on the school bond measure, we're going to talk about that next week. And so go ahead and send that to me. So moving on to some items of community interest, there will be a Rogue River Community Health Carnival, and that will be scheduled for tomorrow. And that's going to be at 5474 North River Road. That would be the fire station over just up the road there from the shopping center. And assuming that this can't be canceled by weather, I haven't been able to find out for sure. But if this goes on as scheduled, it'll be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's free admittance. And they will have information on smoke detectors. They'll have a fire extinguisher demonstration. Says there'll be a bounce house for the kids, but with the weather the way it's been, I'm not sure if that's going to happen. They're going to have flu shots available and all kinds of other stuff. If you want to get more information on that and make sure that it possibly doesn't get canceled again, I don't know if this is all indoors or what they have planned. But if you want more information, you can call 541-582-4411. And again, that's from 10 to 3 on Saturday, the Rogue River Community Health Carnival at the fire station on North River Road. And another thing I wanted to mention, not today, but a week from today, is the monthly community center dinner. That's always held on the third Friday every month. So if you're interested in the community center dinner, a week from today, that's when the dinner happens. Every third Friday of the month, they wanted me to get that out to you. Always a great community event to get out to the dinner and meet some of your neighbors and friends. So moving on to some high school news. The high school homecoming, of course, happened this past week, and seniors Lorraine Pearson and Jaden Bliven were crowned king and queen of the homecoming. And unfortunately, in the game, the Chieftains were defeated by the Illinois Valley Cougars, final score 46-8. And of course, a lot of you probably listened to that game here on 94.3 The Bridge. And moving on to volleyball action, the Lady Chiefs took on Illinois Valley last Tuesday night, and they dominated the first set 25-10, but unfortunately could not sustain that dominating attack, and they ended up actually losing the next three sets and lost that match 3-1. Girls soccer lost a pair of games last week, They lost to St. Mary's last Saturday at Beck Field 5-0. And then on Monday, they traveled to Lakeview and lost 5-1. And then moving on to the number two team in the conference right now, the Rogue River Chieftain boys soccer team. They split their games this past week. On Saturday, they went to U.S. Cellular Fields and lost to Cascade Christian 5-1. And currently, Cascade is the third-ranked team. Of course, the Chieftains split with Cascade this season, winning at home and losing on the road. And Chiefs are number two, and St. Mary's is number one currently. And Chieftains have lost to St. Mary's at U.S. Cellular, but they'll have a rematch coming up against St. Mary's at home. And the other game this week for the Chieftain boys was Wednesday night in Bandon, and they defeated the combination team of Pacific and Bandon, final score of 4-3. So the Chieftain boys soccer is the cream of the Chieftain crop so far this fall season, and they continue to roll. And so those are all your Chieftain sports, and that's it for the community calendar. So I'm going to take a break early here, give myself plenty of time so we can discuss the so-called sales tax measure 97. So we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about measure 97, and then later in the show, we'll go over the upcoming sports calendar for the Chieftains, and we'll have the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron, coming back to talk about his picks from last week, and we'll make his picks for this coming week. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3, The Bridge.
Hey, everyone. You know, let's all stop what we're doing right now and take a moment. That felt good, huh? Just like that, we had a nice, special sort of moment together. Of course, they don't all need to be quiet moments to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Major League Baseball playoff action yesterday. The Dodgers' Jock Peterson led off the seventh inning with a home run, and Justin Turner added a two-run triple to lead the Dodgers to a 4-3 win over Washington in the fifth and deciding game of the NLDS. Peterson connected off Max Scherzer, who'd scattered four hits up to that point. Turner says everybody helped.
You talk about Joe coming in early and getting his outs, and Kenley trying to go three, and Kershaw shut the door.
The Dodgers go on to face the Cubs in the National League Championship Series starting Saturday in Chicago. Over on the American League side, it'll be the Indians and the Blue Jays. NFL Thursday Night Football, Phillip Rivers threw for 178 yards, one touchdown, leading San Diego over Denver 21-13. And in so doing, passing Hall of Famer Dan Fouts to become the team's career passing leader. This is SRN Sports. Moving on now to other NFL news. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, a full participant in practice Thursday. That's an indication the league's reigning MVP will likely play Sunday against New Orleans. Redskins coach Jay Gruden says tight end Jordan Reed has been diagnosed with a concussion, the sixth in his pro and college career. The leading receiver for the team must be cleared from the concussion protocol before returning to practice or playing in Sunday's game against the Eagles. In the National Hockey League yesterday, it was Montreal over Buffalo 4-1, Rangers 5, Islanders 3, Boston beat Columbus 6-3, Florida 2, New Jersey 1, the Lightning over Detroit 6-4, Winnipeg 5, Carolina 4, the Penguins beat Washington 3-2 in double overtime, St. Louis 3, Minnesota 2, and Dallas over the Ducks by a 4-2 score. College football, LSU and 18th-ranked Florida will play in Baton Rouge November 19th to make up the game scheduled in Gainesville that was wiped out by Hurricane Matthew. This is SRN Sports.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And today we're going to be talking about Measure 97. And as I mentioned, next week we'll be discussing the Rogue River School District bond. And I'm hoping to have both sides of that, both someone here to represent being against it and someone else representing the bond measure passing. But today's show is going to be a little different. I don't have guests lined up to talk about Measure 97. And frankly, I'm going to take this opportunity to be a little more opinionated, and not that I'm not always opinionated, because I am, and I'm sure a lot of you know that by now. But I would like to go over some of the points that if you go to the Yes on 97 website, they make a lot of points there, and I want to go over a few of these and then kind of look at what this tax is and tell you why. I'll tell you from the start, I am against this. I'm a small business owner. I've seen the videos of some of these small business owners saying, oh, this is, you know, we got to get these big businesses from out of town or out of state to pay their fair share. And I don't buy it. And the more I've dug into this, I'll tell you why I don't. So I went to the Yes on 97 website. And the first thing you see on there, and this comes as no surprise, you see children first. So, you know, my first thought was, well, here we go again. It's all about the kids. And, you know, I'm sure the next thing I'm going to see is it's also about the seniors. And lo and behold, there's a picture of a senior person, lady, and her the little quote under her picture is, my medicines are so expensive, and they list her as a low income senior. And it's not that I don't want good funding for the schools and I don't want to take care of low income seniors. It's that I don't believe that that's what this tax is going to go to. And the reason for that is this is not earmarked for anything. Yeah, they're selling it on the website as something, but they always sell these things as, you know, they always mention children and seniors and the disadvantaged, and they try and tug at your heartstrings, and then they try and sneak behind your back these ridiculous laws and taxes that don't make any sense, and this one's no different. So I looked further, and of course they keep with the emotional, you know, heartstring tugging arguments. So they make a mention of students in classrooms in one district sitting on heaters against the wall because there isn't enough desks, and modular classrooms are maxed out. And my thought about that one was, oh no, not modular classrooms. I mean, goodness, are we all living in the sticks? I mean, I had modular classrooms when I was in high school. It was nothing to be ashamed of or anything of the sort. It was just a, you know, a way for the school to expand before they could do major construction. They can quickly expand their classrooms or to more classrooms by bringing in these modular classrooms. So, you know, that one doesn't really make me, you know, feel sorry for anybody there. And another point they made was the high schools lack enough one-on-one time to identify and help who are at risk of dropping out. Well, first of all, they're mixing two arguments in this statement. Are you talking about kids that are dropping out because they don't feel they have opportunity, or are you talking about kids that are flunking out because they're not getting enough one-on-one time? As far as kids flunking out, one-on-one time isn't how you figure that out. It's how you help them, absolutely. But, you know, we take tests all the time in school. In fact, the kids now in school are tested more than ever with the, you know, all these so-called Common Core standards. The whole high school experience is about passing tests now, and we're not going to get into that. But, you know, they're even conflating their arguments to make them sound better than they really are. And it just makes me real suspicious of what they're trying to do, because when you have to exaggerate and you have to make, you know, these false, you know, almost the you know, the little girl that cried wolf type of arguments, it makes me suspicious of how good this law is. And again, the more I've dug into it, the more I see it's just not that good. So let's get into that a little bit here. I'd mentioned that the first thing that it says is children first. Well, when you start reading farther down the page on this website, you realize children first is not a claim of what the law will do. It's not a claim of that the money will go to children first. They want you to think that, but children first is actually the name of a group. One of the quotes they put on the website is a lady that runs a group called Children First. So again, they're being deceiving here. There's nothing in this law that says this money goes to children first or seniors first or anything of the sort. It all goes into the general fund, and they can spend it how they want. And as a lot of the opponents of this measure have pointed out, the main reason that they want to find another revenue stream is because the PERS program, the retirement program here in Oregon, is so deeply in debt. And it's because they've made promises they just can't keep. They've promised returns on well, I'd say investment, but it's the people that are getting the returns didn't make the investment. The money is given to them by the state as their retirement. And I'm not against, you know, retirement for state employees, although, you know, I would say that these retirement systems are so outdated. They offer these unrealistic returns, and they're nowhere in the private sector anymore. Is there, you know, there's not very many pensions and things like that. You have to invest in your retirement and 401ks. And so this idea that government employees, you know, still get some sort of pension system and the rest of us have to fend for ourselves is, you know, really are not a good way to do business. And you can say, well, we should bring back pensions. Well, the economics of that, that system is long gone. It would be hard to bring it back. But giving one class of employees special treatment that the rest of us don't get just doesn't make sense. But again, this isn't a PERS discussion per se, but I have to agree with the opponents of this measure that this is just, they're trying to disguise this tax as something to help kids. And I guess indirectly, sure, it helps kids because it helps teachers. Teachers are state employees and they're a part of the PERS program. So it does help them, but it helps them when their teaching career is over. So this doesn't help kids. It's a ridiculous claim. And it's the same thing we get from people that want to raise taxes all the time. They just want more money to spend. They really don't care about kids and seniors. So let's move on to some of their claims at what this tax is about and what it'll do. We hear this, corporations need to pay their fair share. Well, I'm so sick of this fair share argument. We hear it in the national, you know, on the national stage when they talk about taxing the rich and that the, you know, the Republicans are always cutting the taxes for the rich. The thing that they ignore is, well, this funny little thing called facts. The fact is, when you look at the national income taxing and the revenues collected by the federal government, the top 1% of taxpayers pay 50% of the tax burden. And, you know, immediately a lot of people would say, well, that's okay. They make so much money. They make the majority of the money. Well, that's not really the truth. They pay 50% of the tax burden, but they only represent 17% of the total income that the government brings in through the income tax. So this whole fair share argument, it just doesn't hold water, and it doesn't hold water in arguing for Measure 97 either. In fact, since 1980, every time that the tax rates were cut, the amount of money that the federal government brought in tax revenue went up. And the biggest example would be the Reagan tax cuts nearly doubled the income coming into the federal government when he cut the top tax rate in half. So this whole claim of paying their fair share and, you know, the rich don't pay enough and businesses don't pay enough, it's just ridiculous. And the thing about businesses not paying enough, we forget that the economic fact that businesses don't pay taxes. And some of you may be scratching your head going, well, of course they have. They pay taxes and you don't want their taxes to be raised. Well, yes, I don't want their taxes to be raised because it'll raise the price of goods. Corporations and businesses don't pay taxes. They have a minimum income that they need to bring in to sustain their business. So if there's something like a tax or a regulation that puts an undue burden on a business, they're going to raise their prices or they're going to go out of business. And some of you would say, well, that's okay. If they can't survive, they go out of business. Well, that means a lot of people lose their jobs. And if the companies do have to raise prices on their products, that affects all of us. And again, it's kind of like the minimum wage increase, which I'm completely against also. It's one of those things that it sounds really good, but when you really look at the facts of what it does and what it will do, it hurts the very people that you're claiming to help. You know, you're trying to say we want to help low-income seniors and we want to help students, but the result of a minimum wage increase or a major tax increase like this on businesses is that it hurts the people at the bottom. The very people that can afford it the least are the ones that are hurt by it the most. And an example of that, if you look at the way this tax is, and I should have mentioned this at the outset, but we'll go back to it. It's a 2.5% tax on companies with sales over $25 million a year. And that sounds great, you know, tax these big companies. And of course, on their website, they mentioned some of the bigger companies, especially the out-of-state companies. You know, they're not paying their fair share. Well, if out-of-state companies are paying less than in-state companies, that's the fault of the lawmakers for the way they've structured the tax laws. It's not the fault of those companies. But again, the example I was talking about, you know, when you have a sales tax, a consumer sales tax, like California has, for instance, the sales tax on the consumer level, in most cases, they exempt a lot of the necessities of life, like food and medications. But another thing that they do with that tax is they have resale laws. So if items are being sold for resale and not directly to a consumer, so business-to-business sales, for instance, those aren't taxed in a sales tax. And that's the difference with this tax. Yes, it's focused on the biggest businesses, and that's another claim they make, is that it only I don't have the number in front of me, but they say it only represents 1% or something like that of the businesses that do business in Oregon. Yeah, but that 1% is paying a huge amount of tax already. They're paying, again, more than their fair share, with the air quotes around it. But my example would be, you know, because with a consumer sales tax, you're only collecting the tax on one transaction, and again, you're exempting some of the necessities of life. This tax would tax sales at every level. So to give you an example, if, let's say, the Acme Textile Company sells to Bob's Wholesale Fabric Company, that transaction is taxed. Well, then Bob's Wholesale Fabric Company sells to, let's say, Nike, because they're here in the state. That transaction is taxed. So then Nike sells to a distributor, again, taxed. The distributor sells to the retailers, the local retailers. That transaction would be taxed. And then the retailers sell to us, the consumers. And again, they're taxed on that sale if their company has revenues of more than $25 million. Well, you can see the same money or the same goods are being taxed over and over and over again. How could you even make the claim that it won't raise prices? Now, one of the claims they make is, well, the competition will keep prices down. Again, they don't understand economics if they're saying that businesses have to keep their profit margins at a certain point in order to stay in business. And if they can't raise prices on goods, then they lay off employees, or maybe they go out of business, but they don't pay these taxes. In one way or another, they pass these taxes on. So the cost of goods will absolutely go up with this tax. There's just no getting around it. They can throw out all the phony numbers that they want. They're not being honest with you when they tell you that. And the other thing was about that competition that they cite, well, competition will keep the prices down. Some of the companies that they cited when they mentioned that, these big companies, and some of them are from out of state, they mentioned, you know, Charter Cable and Avista and Pacific Power. Well, those are three horrible examples, because not only are they paying major amounts of taxes regardless of what the rate is, because they do huge business in the state, but they're also, there's no competition for those companies. I mean, yes, Charter has competition with other internet providers. Dish Network and DirecTV are their competition. But for their specific products, like the power company or even cable, there's no competition. You can't go into a city and have two or three choices of cable service. You have one choice. The company that made a contract with that city or maybe that county, that's the only game in town. Yes, there are outside competition for some of these companies, although the power company has no competition, the gas company has no competition, but even the cable company, yes, they have outward pressure from other suppliers, and they have, they've got some other challenges that have nothing to do with this tax, but even the cable companies, they have contracts. They're not competing with any other cable company. So even this idea of, you know, competition is going to fix this, it's just ridiculous. And before I get to my last couple of points, I do want to remind you that, you know, if you don't agree with me on this one, this show, unfortunately, is pre-recorded today, so we can't talk about it on the phone today. I'm on my way to the football game tonight, but you can, again, use that email, feedback@943thebridge.com, or you can contact me through the Facebook page. So if you have an opinion about this and whether you agree with me or don't agree, go ahead and contact me. I'm not a dictator here at Rogue Talk. Today I'm getting to be one because I don't have anyone to refute anything I'm saying, and that's okay. So, but I definitely want to hear from you if you have an opinion on that, especially if you have an opinion different than mine. Again, next week's show, I definitely want to have both sides of it if I can make that happen. But you know, again, I'm not telling you how to vote, but I'm definitely today telling you how I feel. And so again, and another issue, and you may have picked up on this already with this tax, is it's a tax on gross sales, not on profits. Well, as I mentioned, you know, these companies are, their profit margins are, there's a definite range they have to stay in, and it depends on the company. Certain companies have really high profit margins, but other companies have very tight profit margins, and they rely on the volume of business that they're doing in order to make the margins that they need to make, or to make the amount of income that they need to sustain the business. But they also need profits to grow the business. You know, in my business, I've chosen to be just a sole proprietor. I'm a one-man operation. Occasionally, the Rogue Talk mascot works with me in the summertime, but I'm not building a business. But most businesses, in order to build the business, they have to have profits. You have to have enough income to justify hiring people. And anytime you put undue taxes, undue regulations on a business, whether it's big or small, you're limiting their ability to grow and to hire more people. And of course, people represent income, tax income to the state. You know, the more people that a company can hire, they're paying more taxes to the state. You know, and those people are paying their taxes, and that just seems to get ignored in these discussions. But again, going back to this, it's on gross sales, and it's just a horrible way to tax. And again, because if a company has low profit margins and you're taxing their gross sales, it's an undue burden. It's like taking money, you know, out of their pockets before they use the money to do business or to grow their business. When you tax income, the income of the business, you're taxing their profits. And so you can measure that. You can see, you know, if we're taking a percentage of profits, then they know they can plan for that. But if you're taking a percentage of gross sales, you can eliminate their profits altogether. And why would anybody be in business if there's no way that they can make a profit? That's what businesses are for. Businesses aren't employee factories. I mean, yes, they hire people, and many businesses love to build their business bigger so they can hire more people, but that's not their purpose. Their purpose is not employment. Their purpose is to make a profit. And you know, you can say, you know, what they do with their profits should or shouldn't be our business. I don't think it is, but you know, that's another issue. If they don't make the profits, they can't hire the employees, and they can't offer these products for you to buy. I mean, under this, that example I gave with everything being taxed, You know, Nike, none of us would be able to afford some of the products Nike makes. And not that we need things that say Nike on them, but the point of it is it's going to raise the price of products, and it's going to raise the price of products of the essentials. You know, it'll raise milk prices. You know, Umpqua Dairy falls into this $25 million threshold. It's going to raise their prices. There's no way around it. They can't stay in business if they don't keep their margins where they need to be. And it's just every one of the things that they're promoting this with, as near as I can tell from doing my research, it just doesn't add up. Their numbers don't add up. Their claims don't add up. And again, when I start hearing these claims of it's for the children, it's for the seniors, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck go up when I hear that, because every time, almost without fail, when I hear that, it's phony. It's just, they're just tugging at your heartstrings, and they're trying to get you to support something that in this case is just really unsupportable. This is a horrible tax. I don't think it's going to pass, but obviously you can tell my recommendation on Measure 97 is a big fat no. So I hope you enjoyed my little monologue on that. And again, if you want to get back to me and let me know how you feel about it, email feedback@943thebridge.com, or you can go to the Rogue Talk page on Facebook. So I'm going to take a break here. We'll come back with the sports schedule for Rogue River High School for next week, and we'll have the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron, picking football games again for this weekend. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A judge has ordered North Carolina election officials to extend the deadline to register to vote in 36 eastern counties of the state because of the disruptions caused by Hurricane Matthew. Today's order came in response to a lawsuit filed by the North Carolina Democratic Party. People who decide to vote early will be able to register the same day. Early voting begins Thursday. A lawyer representing the Newtown, Connecticut families that sued the maker of the rifle used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre say they will appeal a judge's dismissal of the lawsuit. The judge granted a motion by Remington Arms to strike the lawsuit by the families of 9 children and adults killed and a teacher who survived the 2012 attack. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 39 points to 18,138. The NASDAQ and S&P up a fraction. Oil down 13 cents to $50.31 a barrel. More details at SRNNews.com.
Here the rooster crows. 94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3, The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Uncle Dan? Mom? Dad? If you store your guns properly, so not just anyone can get to them.
I'll feel safer when I'm playing outside.
Safer when walking home.
Safer when my friends come over.
As your neighbor, I'll feel safer.
As a school teacher, I'll feel safer.
We'll all feel safer.
Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. HP Inc. says it will cut 3,000 to 4,000 jobs over the next 3 years as it faces continued challenges in the markets for personal computers and printers. The cuts are in addition to the 3,000 jobs that HP previously said it was trimming this fiscal year. HP Inc. is one of the two companies formed last year by the breakup of the old Hewlett-Packard. The other company is Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. It primarily sells servers and other data center technology. Verizon's top lawyer says it now has reason to believe Yahoo's recently disclosed data breach has a material impact on Verizon's pending $4.8 billion acquisition of Yahoo. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 45 points.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now joining me in the studio, my son Cameron, the Rogue Talk mascot. Welcome back to Rogue Talk, Cameron.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get to your football picks in just a minute. But first, I wanted to go over the upcoming schedule of Chieftain Sports. The volleyball team will have their last match of the season coming up this coming Tuesday. And they'll travel to Lakeview. And Cameron, have you been able to get out to any of the volleyball games this year?
Some of them. I mean, I haven't been able to make a lot of them because of sickness.
Yeah, you were out for a while, but been kind of a up and down season. Not a lot of wins for the team, but a lot of promising play, including, I mentioned, the results of their last contest. They had a dominating first set against IV, and they just couldn't sustain it. But a lot to look forward to for next season, I think, with this volleyball team. They're playing well. They're just not always getting the results in the win-loss column. I think there's a lot to look forward to going into next season. So they'll have their last match of the season. And that, again, that's on Tuesday at Lakeview. Girls soccer was scheduled to play Brookings JV Saturday. They were going to travel to Brookings. That game has been canceled, and I wasn't able to get the details on that. But from looking at the OSAA website, looks like maybe the Brookings team no longer has a JV because their last two contests have been canceled. Is that right, Cameron? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that their last contest they had to cancel it. So
yeah, so we're assuming right now that maybe they no longer have a JV, probably don't have the numbers anymore to keep that going. So because that game was canceled, the girls' next game will be this coming Wednesday. They'll travel to Illinois Valley. That game will be at 6 o'clock. So if you're interested in the girls soccer, Illinois Valley, not too far to go out to Cave Junction for a 6 o'clock game. So apparently that'll probably be under the lights. It gets dark a lot earlier now, so a six o'clock game I don't think will be over before it starts to get dark. So I'm assuming that'll be under the lights. Always fun to play under the lights, huh, Cameron?
Yeah, it's really fun.
So then moving to boys soccer, and of course you know a little bit more about that. You haven't been able to play lately, but the team's doing really well. And we mentioned that in the conference, they're number two in the conference currently. And so your team will be traveling, or no, I'm sorry, they'll be hosting Illinois Valley next Wednesday at Beck Field at 4:30. And that looks to be a pretty important game. The Chieftain should win that game. Illinois Valley hasn't shown too much this season. But the one of the tiebreakers for the OSAA rankings in the conference our total goals. So it's going to be important for the Chieftains to keep the pressure on coming up in this game against Illinois Valley. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we're going to really hope that they actually come to this game, because last game they played St. Mary's and they forfeited. So St. Mary's only got one goal. So,
oh yeah, so
we really want this game, because if we can get as many goals as possible.
Yeah, you've got a pretty good lead on Cascade in the goal count, but with St. Mary's, you know, they're ahead of you right now. Is that right?
Yeah.
But that game against Illinois Valley that was a forfeit, that hurt them quite a bit, because, as you mentioned, it's only a 1-0. It's scored as a 1-0, so that really doesn't help their goal count. So, and then not this week, but then the you guys will be playing St. Mary's again, the rematch. You lost to St. Mary's at U.S. Cellular Fields, but in a week, the week following, you'll get that rematch on your own field. And if you can win that game, it's possible that the top three teams will all split with one another. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they will all have a three-way tie for first. But if we get enough goals and we can have Cascade beat the St. Mary's on a low-scoring game and then beat them with kind of a high-scoring game, and then if we get our IV game, we could pass them for first place, but it could go down to a three-way tie if we can beat them.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to, and either way, it looks like the Chieftains are going to be in the playoffs this year, which is a huge accomplishment for a school that didn't have a program, you know, just, what, 2 years ago a 2 or 3 year period where they had no team, and this is only our second year back, so that's a great accomplishment. So finally, we'll move on to football. Tonight, the Chieftains will travel to the Merrill Civic Center in Merrill, Oregon, to take on the Lost River Raiders. That game will kick off at 7 o'clock. They don't tip off in football, do they, Cameron?
No.
coverage right here on 94.3 The Bridge will start at 6:50. So listen in to Chieftain football here on 94.3 The Bridge. And that's it for the upcoming schedule for the Chieftains. Now let's move on to the Chieftain, or the Rogue Talk mascot, football picks. Going into last week, Cameron, you were 11-5-1 and had kind of a rough week. Let's quickly go over those games. Tennessee versus Texas A&M. And you picked A&M, and that was your only win of the weekend. In the other games, you picked North Carolina to beat Virginia Tech. You picked Miami to beat Florida State. You picked Texas to beat Oklahoma. And finally, in the game that you bet $1 with Pastor Gigline. I hope you brought that dollar for Pastor Gigline, because he's going to be looking for it, because Arkansas did not beat Alabama. And not only that, but Alabama did cover the point spread. So a 1-4 week for you. So you'll be looking to bounce back here, huh?
Yeah, rough week.
So that takes your record to 12-9-1, still above 500, but looking for a bounce back week here. So let's get to those games here. First game on our schedule, Alabama at Tennessee, and I'm trying to bring that up here, and I lost it. Now, where did it go? My app is going crazy. Number 1 Alabama 6-0 at number 9 Tennessee 5-1. Alabama, 13-point favorite. Who do you got in that one?
I got to go with the Crimson Tide.
They burned you last week, so you're going to go with them this week?
Yeah, I can't lose another game.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't think they'll have any trouble covering 13 points against Tennessee. Tennessee's a lot better than they've been in the past few seasons, but I don't think they can match up with Alabama.
Alabama's not going to give them that close game like they do the last couple of games Tennessee has had, where they've won games in close shootouts. And
yeah, no, I agree. So, well, let's move on to our next game then. Ole Miss at Arkansas. And again, I'm trying to find that on my schedule here. Well, I'm having trouble finding the details of that one. All right, well, let's skip. Oh, there it is. Okay, sorry about that. Number 12, Ole Miss, at number 22, Arkansas. Both teams with two losses on the season. Arkansas with one more win, though. They're 4-2. Ole Miss is 3-2. Ole Miss is a 7.5-point favorite in that game. So who you taking, Ole Miss or Arkansas?
I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
Ole Miss going to cover the 7.5 points at Arkansas.
Yeah, I think it'll be a tight game, but I think in the end, I think Ole Miss wins it with their offense.
Okay, so another team that you picked last week, you're picking against this week. I'm starting to sense a little pattern here. Trying to get some wins back in the win column. All right, let's move on to our next one. Ohio State, number 2 Ohio State, they're 5-0. They're traveling to number 8 Wisconsin. Wisconsin with a 4-1 record. Ohio State an 11-point favorite in this one. Who do you got in Ohio State at Wisconsin?
I'm going to go with the Badgers.
Going to go with the Badgers. Wisconsin to win at home. And, you know, you took the points in a game last week. It didn't pay off for you. Taking the points again here, I think this one may work out in your favor. I think Wisconsin will win it outright, but they'll definitely keep it close enough to cover that 11-point spread. So
with Wisconsin's defense, it's one of the best in the Big Ten, and I think them and Michigan have they are the best defenses in the Big Ten, and they're Ohio State, they're an offensive team, but I think they won't do as well versus their defense.
Yeah, and I feel like Ohio State's kind of had a bit of a soft schedule so far this year, so I think I probably agree with you on that one. And so that's our last of the college games. We're going to pick one pro game this week. We didn't like as many of the college games as we usually do. So moving over to the NFL, Dallas at Green Bay. And let me see if I can get the spread on that game. Looking for it here. I'm a little slow with technology, as most of you have probably figured out by now. Still having trouble finding that game. Okay, well, there it is. So 4-1 Dallas at 3-1 Green Bay. Green Bay's a 3.5-point favorite. So who are you going to pick in this game?
I'm going to go with the Packers. I didn't like the way they beat the Giants, but they beat the Giants.
So you don't think that rookie quarterback for Dallas is going to get it done against that Green Bay defense?
No, Clay Matthews coming in, the linebacker coming in. I think their defense aligns pretty well. They are going to have some trouble with their corners, but I think down the stretch, I think Green Bay with their offense and their defensive line, I think they can get through and win this game.
So a little reality check for Dak Prescott this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, well, that's our final pick for the day. So once again, I see Pastor Gigline coming into the studio. I think he's wanting to collect his dollar, Cameron.
Coming out of your wallet.
Uh-oh, Cameron forgot his money. So the only way we're getting out of the studio is if I pull my wallet out. Well, we'll see what kind of work I got at home for you. So that's going to be all we have for you today. So don't forget to join us on the radio tonight. Kickoff at 7. We'll be on the air at 6:50 for the Rogue River Chieftain football team taking on Lost River. So once again, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's hometown voice, 94.3 The Bridge, or on demand at 943thebridge.com.